I ask an interest in your prayers. Let's look in the book of 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, in the 12th verse. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. This afternoon, I'd like to talk to us about our strengths and our weaknesses, sometimes our strengths are things we want to put out first and foremost about us. We want to, the old saying is, put your best foot forward. But, you know, sometimes the Lord looks beyond the best part of us. He's looking out for the inward strengths that we have, and He wants to improve on that. Do you know, I was thinking, reading this scripture and thinking about the children of Israel and how they had won victories, and they came up to Ai. And they got to Ai and figured, this is just another one of those little places. We'll send a few men and we'll take them down. And they were humiliated so bad in that fight. They were humiliated and brought down so low. And sometimes God brings things to us in our life to help us to see really where we're at spiritually. He would like to help us all to learn from our mistakes. He would like to help us each one to be productive in our spiritual life. So thinking about that great defeat there at Ai, and the children of Israel turned back, and they were really seeking God and asking God, please help us, Lord. We're in a real bind here. They found that their strength had been taken away from them, and they needed much help from God. And they acknowledged that and got right, got down to business and found where the problem was at, and they went on. May the Lord help us today to do the same thing. Yeah. Recognizing our needs. And sometimes we're all gifted in some ways. Some have a gift of teaching, some exhortation, they able to exhort. Some have abilities to write. Some have abilities to just keep things kind of together and keep things going and on the right track, and different gifts in the body. There's different things. You might have been blessed with lots of abilities, but I want to tell you something to watch out for today. Be careful of your strengths, because behind every strength there's a weakness. The city of Babylon. What a beautiful place it must have been. And here is a fortified city that was one of the strengths was the wall that surrounded the 200 square miles of city. Big place. Four horses could go down on top of the wall, could go around that and ride. Maybe four chariots. It was an immense wall that was around the city. That really wasn't where the strength was at in Babylon. The 200 square miles, the strength was at the Tigris and Euphrates River that bisected this city. The Tigris and Euphrates that went around, and it was like a moat, and it protected the city. And there was a lot of strength that was in that river, in those two rivers, the Tigris and Euphrates. Yeah. And the designers of Babylon, I'm sure, calculated all of that in. But you know what? There is, within every strength, there is a weakness. So I want to tell us a little history about Babylon. Babylon was conquered by one of its greatest strengths. Cyrus learned how to, as he was plotting against the city to take Babylon over, Cyrus knew that as he looked at the map and everything, and he calculated how to take the city, he figured that by diverting those rivers, as big as they were, by diverting them around the city. Now, you read in history books, there's very little, and sometimes these generals don't want to tell you how they conquered a place, because if you let the secret out, other people began to catch on. So I'm sure a lot of this is not just real public, but Cyrus knew that if he could divert those rivers around there, he could march his armies, he could go right into the place, and he did. And I want to read just a few things here that in the book of, let's look in the 39th chapter, I believe here, of Isaiah. I'm going to jump around just a little bit. Be patient with me just a little bit. Hezekiah was sick. We remember his story. He was sick. He was nigh unto death. And the prophet Isaiah came by his place. And the Lord told Isaiah, "You tell Hezekiah, set your house in order. You're going to die." And Isaiah delivered the message. And Hezekiah wept sore. Hezekiah was sorry. And he looked to the and prayed, looked to the at a wall, and he just wept. And he said, "Lord, you know how I've lived." The Lord spoke to Isaiah and said, "Go back and tell Hezekiah I'm going to add 15 years to your life." And he did that. And then we find when Hezekiah got well, we find that as he got well, there were some representatives from Babylon that wanted to come by and congratulate him. They wanted to come by and say, "Hey, I'm glad you're better. I'm glad you're well." And we'd kind of like to look around just a little bit. And so Hezekiah, it says here in the 39th chapter, Hezekiah was glad of them, and he shewed them the house of his precious things and silver and gold and spices, precious ointment, all the house of his armor, and all that was found in his treasures. There was nothing in his house nor in all his dominion that Hezekiah shewed them not. In his pride, he began. You know, can you imagine opening the doors? "Hey, you all come over here and look inside here. Look inside here." And when he opened them doors, he showed all the treasures that he had. And they was going, "Oh, yeah, oh, that's wonderful, wonderful. You look at all the stuff." He'd go over to another place and show them this and show them that. And all along, he didn't realize what was happening. He didn't realize, you know, you don't start bragging about all this stuff you have. You know, thinking you've got something and then showing it off and bragging about it. Do you know, all of those strengths came to haunt him, because now Isaiah comes back to him again and he said, "What did you do?" He said that, then said Isaiah to Hezekiah, "Hear the words of the Lord of hosts. Behold, the days come that all that is in thine house and that which thy fathers have laid up in store unto this day shall be carried to Babylon. Nothing shall be left, saith the Lord. And of thy sons that shall issue from thee, which thou shalt beget, shall they take away, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon." Then said Hezekiah to Isaiah, "Good is the word of the Lord which thou hast spoken." He said, "Moreover, for there shall be peace and truth in my days." I find something kind of wrong with all this. Hezekiah's, you know, he knew that this wasn't going to happen in his time, so big deal. You know, if all this is going to happen to somebody else. And he said, "Well, good is the word of the Lord." But there's a prophecy, Isaiah said, 150 years later, I'm trying to bring this together about Babylon's destruction and about things happening. When, look with me now in the book of Daniel, and we're going to find out some of the prophecy that's fulfilled here. Daniel was in the, he was there among the people at that time. He was a captive. He was a eunuch. He was mistreated. There was a lot of things that happened to Daniel. He didn't let those things make him bitter. He kept a good, the Bible said, I believe he had an excellent spirit. But there came a time, the prophecy's about to be fulfilled, and the things that Isaiah had spoken of, 150 years has passed close to that. And Nebuchadnezzar had his time. He got up and he spoke and he said, isn't this the kingdom that I've made? Haven't I put all these things together? And as he spoke, the word of the Lord spoke to him and condemned him for his pride. Yes. And now his son, Belshazzar, he picks up. And what they're doing, Hezekiah's treasures have been robbed now. That place has fallen, Jerusalem broken down, and all the things that he had in his treasury, they're all carried to Babylon. And now Belshazzar is getting drunk. And there's things that start happening. It's more than just the drunken stupor and the drunken things that people see when they're drunk and all the ways they act. No, it's more than this. This was really the hand, just a hand that came out and wrote on the wall. Belshazzar the king made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords. I'm reading in Daniel 5. And drank wine before the 1,000. Belshazzar, while he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple which is in Jerusalem, and the king and his princes, his wives, and his concubines might drink therein. All right, I'm sure you all know a lot of this. I know you probably read that before. So the prophecy of Isaiah to Hezekiah, it's been fulfilled. And now they're in there in their drunken stupor and they're reveling and carrying on. The hand comes out and writes on the wall. And just outside the gates, Cyrus is planning to invade and planning to conquer Babylon. He's diverting the Tigris and the Euphrates River. He's making his way to get into the city. You see, folks, the great strength of the city was the rivers that bisected it. The great strength was lying within, and that's exactly where Cyrus was headed. Now, Cyrus, I tell you, I've read a little bit about him. He did something I was impressed with. He reversed the policies of the Assyrians and Babylonian empires. Cyrus, instead of torturing his captives like the Assyrians and the Babylonian men did, they would torture the people they caught. They would do horrendous things to them, and they'd let all the people see that. And it was trying to instill a fear in them, don't ever mess with us. Don't ever mess with us because we'll do this to you. Cyrus was different. When he came into the city of Babylon, knowing there was around 50,000 Jews there, he turned them loose. He let them go. Cyrus was different. You know, the Babylonians and the Assyrians would take people just like Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. They took those people and would try to break their national spirit. They would try to go in and they would change their names. They'd try to get them. They'd take them out of their country and they'd put them in a foreign place. They'd do different things to get them stopped from thinking about their ways and customs. They had a way of breaking people's spirits, in other words. So Cyrus, he came in and he began to liberate people. In fact, as he was marching into Babylon, history says that people by the thousands that was guarding the place surrendered without a fight. Surrendered without a fight. But his intent was to conquer Babylon, and he did. And it says here in Daniel, I'm skipping a little bit, but it says, that Daniel told in the fifth chapter of Daniel, after the writing, Daniel said, here's what this is saying. I'll just tell you up front, here's what it's saying. And then it says in the 30th verse, in that night was Belshazzar, king of the Chaldeans, slain. And Darius the Median took the kingdom, being about 62 years old. So while Belshazzar, they were drinking, they was getting drunk and everything, outside the gate was Cyrus, outside, and he was planning and he was scheming how to get in and take the kingdom. And that night, he was slain. Let me say to us, you might be gifted with several things. You might have the gift of governments. You might have lots of different strengths, but beware, because our adversary is going to do all that he can to work through your greatest abilities and your greatest strengths, and he's doing everything to turn that around. Yeah. I've watched people, and I was just thinking of the graveyard of the successful people that I've known. I've known people that have been right among us. They've been good ministers. They've been good leaders. And there's been some good people that just sat in the pews and the graveyard of the slain. And I've watched how the enemy of our souls works upon good people. He will take your strengths and your abilities and turn them around if he can and conquer you. He is out to get us today. The Lord help us. Remember the first scripture I read to us in 1 Corinthians 10 and 12. If any man thinketh that he standeth, take heed lest he fall. Oh, be careful today. We need the Lord to help us. God is able to bring the pride down, the proud down. I've told this story different times, but there was a real successful lady that sold real estate in Springfield, Missouri. And my wife and I, maybe some, I can't remember who all of us, we went out to eat at a restaurant, and here she was and had her table of friends, and oh, she was such a success. And, you know, she got rid of her husband. She didn't need him. She was just successful, successful, successful. She had it all. And she was wearing this coat, had this big brooch on it, a big little jacket and something. And she goes to put that on when she's leaving, and that thing went flying. And it landed up under a table. I wish I'd had a picture. But here she is, the queen of real estate. And she's under the table on her hands and knees going to pick this thing up. I thought, oh, I'd like to put that in the front page of the paper. But God has a way to bring us all down to a lowly. And he'll take your best abilities. Watch out. He's not interested in getting the people that can't do anything. He's not interested in that. No, he wants the best. He wants to snatch your best and what you can do. If you've got a voice to sing, praise God for our singers. I love to hear good singing. The devil's out. He's trying to steal away what God has given us and turn it around. The Lord help us today. The true test of man's character is not determined by his achievements, but how he responds to the praise that accompanies his success or her success. You get that? The true test of a man's character is not determined by his achievements, but how he responds to the praise that accompanies his success. I heard of a very successful business man one time. In a real estate meeting, he took brought all of his people into the meeting, and he told them about everything they were doing right. Except he didn't mention any of his people that had been putting him where he was at. He brought about how he had done this and how he had implemented this and how he had brought the company up from nothing. And some of his best selling people in there were so bitter. Doesn't he realize the reason he's got there is because of all the things that I've done? And so what happened? A lot of them just quit. Sales dropped. The man was desperate. And he began to realize what he was doing. His ability, his strengths were beginning to, things were beginning to change on him. So be careful today. He was able to recognize his failures and God helped him to get out of some of those. But watch out for pride, overconfidence, ingratitude. All of those things will result in the swift judgment and destruction of our souls if we're not careful. May the Lord bless us today. Cyrus was able to go into a place he knew by looking at it. They were so confident. My greatest strength lies in these rivers. Nobody can do anything with them. Cyrus, somehow, I wish this was more published that we could know, how can you divert a river like that? How can you do that? But he did it. And he got in where those waters once were their security. They had dried up, marched his men in. Belshazzar was slain. Darius now the new king, and it's over. Be careful lest you fall. Ai was a small battle, but be careful lest you fall. I want to tell you a little bit now. I know we're getting a little tired, but I want to tell you about a loon. You ever heard that saying, crazy as a loon? Well, I don't know that they're a crazy bird at all. They make a funny, weird call at nighttime. And if you're not careful, you'll think it's some kind of wild animal or something. But a loon has a yodel like that it makes. And each one of them does a different little yodel. They're kind of a strange bird. If you look at them in the water, you can only see about this much of their head. You know, they're looking around and the rest of them is submerged. Those birds have the ability to dive deep in the water, and they have these big feet. And those big feet, the top of their feet is black, the bottom is white. When a fish is below them, they look up and they can't hardly see their feet. They kind of have a disguise. And so the way those feet are designed on that loon, it's remarkable. You ought to just look up a loon and just see what you can find out about him. But I'm going to tell you that you might say, oh, that's the farthest thing from my mind. Who wants to take time to read? But this loon is very unique in that he can dive down to 200 feet below water. He has two air sacs that they're able to like deflate, and that little old head that's barely sticking up above water, their body weighs so much, but when they kind of let the air, and those big feet behind, they can catch perch, all kinds of fish, and that's how they survive. The only problem is those big feet get in their way when they have to get on the bank. And they have to get out on the bank to lay eggs. And they can hardly walk. Those feet are so positioned behind them. You ought to see pictures of these things. Maybe they do or look a little. Those big old feet are back there and they get all tangled up in them. They can't hardly. You could just walk up and, you know, grab one of them if they're up on the bank, but you couldn't catch them in the water. They can outswim most fish, those big feet. Their strength is one of their greatest vulnerabilities. That poor old loon, when you get him out on the bank, he's about like a fish out of water. He can't do anything. Put him in the water, he'll dive, and they can stay under 15 minutes underwater. Those birds have I don't know who has time to watch a loon, but I've just read things about they can stay underwater such a long time and come up maybe a quarter of a mile or so away. I mean, they're way downstream or way across the lake. They're an amazing bird, but those big feet get in the way. And you know, with us, the same thing. You have some great abilities, young people. You have some wonderful things. And all I want to tell you is just be careful, because those things, the enemy of our soul is after our places of vulnerability. He's after our weak points. God wants to help us remember that we're human. Remember that we have limitations. I've watched people that have worked and labored and done so many things, but we sometimes forget. I remember what Brother Sammons told. He said one time the Lord spoke to him and said, "I'll go with you if you wait on me. I'll go with you if you wait on me. If you'll just stop." And all this, the work they were doing was a good work. There wasn't nothing wrong with it. But sometimes you can get so strung out, and all you need to stop and let your soul catch up with you. There's times that God wants to visit us and He wants to help us. Do you know, I believe God wants us to consider everything. Look with me in the book of Luke 14:27-28. The business ventures. Some people said, "Oh, I don't know where you get those stories." Well, I can tell you some of them cost me thousands of dollars. Some of them has cost lots of money. And had I been maybe a little bit more careful, maybe I get, like he's saying here, 4:27. "Whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, setteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it?" It's one thing, you know, to start off and say, "Well, I just believe this would be a good thing to do," and start off in that, and then a few months later, pray for me. Pray. I'm preaching myself now. Pray for me. I really need y'all to pray for me. I'm in a bind. And then expect, I say, "Hey, Philip, you know, you need to help me. You need to come help me." And he's not going to be willing to help me. You know, that's a big load. I don't believe I can help you, and I shouldn't even expect him to. I got myself in that. Which of you that is considering building something or considering doing something in life, you have to ponder, you have to pray. I can tell you, there's lots of mistakes we can make if we're not careful. You know, you might have the ability to do a lot of things and things are going good, but all of a sudden things can just change. And it's like, "Oh my, I've got myself stretched out here too far. I can't take care of that." The Lord wants to help us today. Amen. Limiting our abilities. Sometimes God does that to us. He wants to help us. He said, "I've called you to be fishers of men." And I know that that's one of the main callings we all have. Not all of us, but he wants us to be fishers of men. So be careful getting involved. Be careful in the planning. Be careful. Some of your strengths may be in. I've known people that are good, excellent workers. They were doing so good, they decided, "I'm going to go in business for myself. I've done so good, I'm going to go in business for myself." And sure enough, they did. And I'm telling you, they were not able to manage money. They were not able to take care of all the pressures and things of a job. It was totally different. You can be a good worker, but here's what I'm saying to us. Be careful. You have a calling. You have a gift. Stay in that place. I want to encourage you to stay there. Don't get out of it. Don't stay in your place and your calling, and God will bless you for what you do. So I had another little thing here that God wants to help us to be willing to acknowledge our weaknesses. Sometimes it's not easy to do that, but He wants to help us to acknowledge our weaknesses and be careful in how we live. I just want to say God is faithful to us, and He wants us to learn to be careful. Be careful with your life. Be careful with the things that He's placed in your life. You know, as Cyrus was a person that went by and conquered many places, he did many things, and yet he was got sick and died one day. He died. He's gone. All of his abilities and everything he was able to come up with to do battle, it's all gone. Be careful with your life today. Be careful with the things that God has handed to you. Acknowledge your weaknesses. I believe the book of James says, talks about, is any sick? Is any afflicted? And then he mentioned here about humbling ourselves in the sight of the Lord. He talks about here in the 5th chapter of James, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing songs. Is any sick? Let him call for the elders of the church. Down in the 16th verse, it says this, confess your faults one to another. That's not easy to do. That's not easy to do. We want to put our best foot forward. We want people to think the very best of us. We want them to see the best. But how many times is the Lord looking beyond our best, and He's looking to strengthen those things that are not so strong in our life? He knows what your strengths are. I was thinking about one time the Lord spoke to this young man. I can't remember where this story came from. But the Lord spoke to this young minister and said, I knew you could run. I knew you could go, but I didn't. But, he couldn't sit still. That was his problem. I knew you could run. And how many times is people feel like that? As people, we feel like we've got this calling. We got to go. And the Lord is saying, I want you to learn how to stop first. Imagine you going out and buying a dump truck, or you going out buying a big vehicle, and they tell you this thing has got 500 horsepower. It will pull 40,000 pounds. And you're going, this is great. I love it. But they said, well, sir, before you leave, I just want you to know it doesn't have any brakes. We haven't figured out how to stop it. That truck's not worth very much if you can't stop it. And it's the same way with us. The Lord's going, I knew you knew how to speak. I knew that you could talk. I knew that you could get up and hold people's attention. But I knew really that you couldn't stop. I knew you'd want to go and you'd want to do this, but I want you to sit still. The Bible speaks about their strength was to sit still. Yes. They thought their real power was getting out there with the bow and arrows. And, you know, at AI, it was just, we're going to do it. It's all in us. It's all. And the Lord, wait a minute. That's not where the strength lies. It's in obedience. It's following me. It's being careful in what you do. Their strength was to sit still and let God do it. How many things have been spoiled by our hands getting involved in something? Oh, I've been doing this now. I'll tell you, I've been doing this now for 40 years. And if anybody ought to know how it's done, Just ask me. Well, I'm telling you, here lately I've had so many things go wrong. It's like, Lord, I don't even believe I can get out of the house unless you help me. And I couldn't. It was hard being on crutches. Oh, I can't stand those things hobbling around. We was in a hospital. This was before this, about a year ago. I couldn't even get up. My back was out and my wife was pushing me in a wheelchair. And we had to go visit these people. And she said, come on, old man, get in. Oh, this is humiliating. I'm looking at people up like this going around. I'm in the wheelchair. Oh, if we could just learn, there's times we have to stop and let God do things for us because our greatest abilities, the Lord is looking. They think that's what makes them strong. They think that's what's really making them, they're getting places in. And the Lord said, Paul said, "And when I was weak, I became strong." His strength is made perfect in weakness. So God can take my handicap. God can take my handicap and your handicap. The thing you think, oh, I got pimples all over my face. I'm so ugly. Every time I look in the mirror, I'm just so ugly. It's not true. The Lord's looking how beautiful you are down in your heart. He's looking at your attitudes. He's looking at how you're coming along. And I want to encourage you young people, keep doing what you're doing. You're doing good. Forget about what the praise of the world, you know, the glamour of the world. People want to expose everything that looks good on them. They do. That's just the way that they want everything that, you know, they think is beautiful. They want to show that to the world. This is me. This is real beauty. Lord's saying you've missed it. That's not it at all. I'm looking at the hidden man of the heart. I'm looking at the inside. Oh, beautiful people. Beautiful people. When you get to know them, beautiful people are beautiful inside. They're sweet inside. Oh, don't you love sweet people? And when you put the brand of a child of God, when you tag on that beauty of meekness and kindness and love, along with that cleanliness and the outward beauty, there's just something about it. It's great. It's the best. So today, your handicap can be a beautiful thing. Your handicap can be beautiful. It can be something that you might think, well, I'm way off the scale. Oh, listen, God can take our handicaps and He can turn them into something beautiful. Something beautiful. He loves us this afternoon. Thank you for your time. Just remember, some of your strengths can be a handicap to you, really. But some of your handicaps, they can be your strengths. That can be the beautiful part about you. And God, help us today to accept our unchangeable features. You ever thought about, we like to cover up? I remember in high school, it was a job as a young person. I know sometimes we want to cover up all of our handicaps. We want to look good, but sometimes it just don't happen. And I had my struggles too, but oh, I'm so thankful. Don't waste another day on your unchangeable features. Don't waste your unchangeables are, I can't change mine and you can't change yours, but if we can be thankful for what we have, Paul said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. he might like to change some of his features. I'm sure he'd like to change some of the deeds that he had done and made mistakes in, but he couldn't do it. But he said this, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. I'm not already there. I haven't obtained everything," but he said, "this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." That's what we want to do. Thank God today for His many blessings to us. And may the Lord encourage you to keep going forward and use your handicaps to the glory of God. Amen.